It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley. Man, Microsoft has a bunch of new apps, new Office apps, and Paul is going to explain what he calls the quiet transition from the old to the new Microsoft. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 415, recorded May 27th, 2015. Windows, hello, lady! Windows Weekly is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show. I love that new music. Hey! Thank you, Carl Franklin, once again from .NET Rocks. He rocks.
He does rock.
Hey!
We should get the European version for the football fans.
Oi!
Be like, oi!
Oi! That's Paul Thurrott. He's from Thurrott.com. That's pretty easy to remember. Can't get much better URL than that. Did you have that before? Was like, because it's your favorite name?
Yeah, I go, when we moved to Phoenix over 20 years ago, we had this domain so my family could look at pictures of the, you know, of us in Phoenix and eventually pictures of our kid and, you know, that kind of stuff.
But you've given
up. So the archives on the site are a little weird.
I was going to say,
you're looking for, you know, Microsoft reviews and stuff.
Mary Jo Foley's here. Did you have allaboutmicrosoft.com? Did you buy it when you were?
I bought it about 7 years ago when I was coming to ZDNet.
Oh, nice. So you own that as well?
Yep. I do. Yep.
Nice. So you guys, now that the Recode's been bought by Vox, you could go into your own.
We're all
well,
set.
Well, I have
to
my own mini
into
version of that, right? You know.
You do, really, actually.
Yeah.
I never asked you about the business relationship. So you didn't exactly just go from Penton to a new company. You have a.
Well, I did sort of. I mean, it's a partnership, but I mean, I'm also technically an employee, you know.
But that's nice, though, that you have a little something.
Yeah, it's a little autonomy, and it's, you know, lets me do what I want to do. And you know, the big changes are I don't have this ginormous company that stinks, and I don't have to write about stuff I don't care about.
Apparently, they neglected to put the non-disparagement clause in here. Oops.
Actually, I just throw this, since you're mentioning that, I will say, you're right, they did.
Oh, whoops. No, we can edit that out.
No, I appreciate the years of service. It was great.
No, all good company. Good name.
Yeah, no, they're the best.
Quality.
By the way, I recommend to one and all, please, someday, go to Penton.com and try to figure out what it is. I dare you.
What do they do?
I dare you.
You know what? They're still afloat.
Okay.
There's something to be said for that, let me tell you.
Sure.
I am in Windows 10. I'm very happy. I installed it last week. I'm in the beta hoobajaboogie, whatever it is.
Yep, that's it.
10122.
Is that the Irish Parliament? No, what is that?
That looks like France. France.
It does, but I don't recognize it.
Or is it the UK? It might be Britain. You know what? That might be.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know
it's
what
it is. It's a little ornate to be in Dublin.
It's pretty. Anyway, we're talking. Nobody who's listening knows what we're talking about.
Exactly.
My wallpaper.
If someone listening could help us guess what this is,
that'd
be great.
I like my wallpaper because I, you know, I have different, you know, landscapes and stuff. And Windows 10 picked that right up there. And that's nice.
That's not Berlin, is it? Is that
the Reichstag?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. That dome looks like very Berlin-esque, doesn't it?
That's what I mean. The dome part in the back looks like it might be the new.
You know, if I had the chat room on, I would know.
What?
I haven't set it up for the Windows yet. I have to set it up. What do you use?
Set it up X-Chat? With the things for the things.
With a thing for the thing.
What do I use? What
for chat.
For what?
For chat.
I just use Skype. What do you mean?
Skype. Like all good Twitter. Microsofties.
Like Twitter.
Twitter. That's what I use.
Oh, I guess.
I love the Twitter. Meanwhile, now I've lost the notes. Sorry. Oh, good.
I want to know what that place was, though.
Oh, no. The chat room's shouting it right now. If I only had access to them, I guess I'll have to.
I see. You're trying to access. All right, I got you.
Yeah, because I don't have it running on Windows, so I don't.
So, okay. Where would I see this?
Twitch live.
It's, they said it's Winnipeg. That can't be right.
Oh, jeez, really?
It can't be.
Not even close.
Oh, wow.
All right. That's all right. Okay. So I am ignorant of Canada.
Is it, that can't be Winnipeg. There's that's not Winnipeg. They're joshing you when they say that. Let us talk about the mobility of experiences. This is the Cortana and iOS and Android story, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Not the Reichstag story.
Not the Reichstag. We were talking about this on MacBreak Weekly, and I thought, very interesting. Microsoft has announced they're going to have, but this is not new. We knew this before, a Cortana app for iOS and Android.
It's official now.
Right.
Tell us about it. It's the iPhone companion for Windows 10. Yeah. That's
well,
the official.
First, the Cortana app is basically Cortana in app form that's going to be coming to iOS and to Android. It's not the exact same Cortana as on Windows and Windows Phone because Microsoft doesn't have access to the deeper level OS elements that it would need to do everything that it can do with Cortana on Windows. But it's going to be able to do a lot of things that Cortana can do. It won't be able to do things like you say, "Hey, Cortana," and it'll automatically respond. It won't do that. And I believe, at least for now, it won't allow you to open apps. Maybe at some point it will, at least on Android. But it's the way that Microsoft is bringing Cortana across platform. And I can tell you, I bet Paul has had the same experience I have had this week since they announced this. I've been like beaten up by Windows fans on Twitter because of this.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they, for one, they're blaming the messenger, right? And they, and the Windows fans see this as bad. They wanted Microsoft to keep Cortana just to Windows because they said it was a competitive advantage.
This is like the final straw.
Yeah.
And this was the final straw. I've had endless conversations with people just saying, you know what? They're doing it. I'm just reporting on it. I'm not defending it. But I do actually think it's smart of them to do.
Well, it sounds like you are defending it, Mary Jo. I think they should be complaining to you.
Yeah. Well, you know why I think it's smart.
What's your email address again, just in case anyone listening would like to
know? I have one number for you as far as the defense. 3. We are the 3%. Why the heck would Microsoft keep Cortana just on Windows and Windows Phone?
Good point.
Okay.
Right? Well, wait a minute. I mean, Windows is not the 3%.
No, Windows is not the 3%. It's coming to Windows 10. So at some point, you would assume it'll be on a lot more than 3% of all mobile platforms. At least
it's
you would hope
be
that.
Closer to 30%. I mean, it's not. We're not talking 50, 75, 80%.
Right.
It's
right.
Best case scenario, 30%.
Right. And Microsoft, guys, they are now a software and services company. They are not a hardware company. They still make hardware. They're still in the hardware business, not out of it yet, maybe never will be. But their main business is the productivity and platforms company. How do you become that? You put your software and your services everywhere. That's why they're doing this.
Yep, that's right.
There it is. Sorry. Well, sorry, okay, everybody.
Right. So I guess in some ways, the announcement that Microsoft is going to take Cortana to Android and iOS, I mean, why would this surprise anybody? Look at what they've been doing over the past year. That every Microsoft product, large and small, has made its way to these platforms. I mean, of course, Cortana is going to be part of it. Leo probably knows more about this than we do, but if you think about how Google Now works on iOS, for example, it's probably going to be a similar experience to that, meaning you have to explicitly kind of go into the app to have it make any sense, right? Because they can't integrate with the OS at large like the native digital assistants can with whatever platform they're made for. But yeah, I mean, like Mary Jo, I've seen a lot of that. And, you know, you can write a post like this and know you're going to get hundreds of responses from people who are not very happy. You know, there'll be a couple of voices of reason in there. I wrote mine as kind of a joke. I have little asides about getting, you know, making breathing space for people or letting them breathe into a bag or whatever. Because I know people will respond in this fashion. I mean, it's sad.
Yep.
But to paraphrase what Mary Jo just said, Microsoft's customers are important to them. Windows Phone customers are a tiny percentage of that. And it's more important to keep that wider customer audience supported, which will requires them to put this stuff on other platforms.
Yeah. Microsoft, the idea is Microsoft doesn't care these days where their customers are. Before, they cared that you were on Windows. These days, if you're on any platform and Microsoft has you for even one app or
they're
one service,
happy.
They're happy. Yep.
No, but that's sensible.
It is.
It's funny because it reminds me of the old days of Apple. When Apple wasn't the dominant platform, of course, Apple had to work with other people, right? And they had to make iTunes for Windows and all of that. That's just, I mean, if you own the entire market, you don't have to kowtow. But if you're 3%, you've got to make concessions. This is the way it is.
Yeah, and I don't actually... to me, this is not surprising. I mean, it's always interesting to me when Microsoft announces something. I thought it was really interesting and maybe a little bit odd that they kind of commingled this message with companion app for phones. You know,
right?
If you read the post, that's
probably part of the problem, right?
It
reads like Cortana on iOS or Android is a benefit of Windows Phone,
right?
Or Windows 10, and it's like. Like sort of.
You know why, right?
No, of course.
They were trying to soften the blow, right?
Sure.
Like if you read how they wrote that blog post, it was like, let's bury the lead way, way, way down.
Yep. Yep. Companion app. Oh, and Cortana.
Yeah, Cortana's on iOS.
It was just kind of tossed out at the end.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's why. So with regard.
Right. So the big question, and this is ultimately the complaint you're getting, I believe, and that I'm getting, which is, you know, so they're going to do this. I mean, why would anyone choose Windows Phone, you know? Right. And I throw out an article this morning that is sort of my theory on that. And it has to do with the way that Windows 10 is being positioned. And it's not just Windows 10. We've talked about this on this podcast before. When Microsoft talks about Office 2016 for the PC, they very carefully position it as a product for professional content creators. In other words, this is not the mainstream way that people consume like personal computing services. That happens on mobile devices, which exist in far bigger numbers than PCs. And so, Windows 10 is very much a PC operating system. And any of the devices they've talked about so far are basically PCs of some size, whether it's a Raspberry Pi, which is a tiny PC, or a giant HoloLens thing with an 82 or 84 inch screen, whatever that is, gigantic PC. So if you think about it in that context, if you go from that little tiny device to that giant device, and all of those things in the middle are a PC, I mean, essentially they're positioning Windows Phone, and that's Windows Phone with a small P, Windows for phones, Windows 10 for phones, as a PC that can also be used as a phone. You know, it has those phone services. But it's essentially literally the mobile version of Windows 10. It's just Windows 10. And I think that's kind of smart because that, A, speaks to the core, if you put it in political terms, of the Windows user base, which are PC users. And it gives them a chance to benefit in both directions from kind of innovations that occurred first on the phone or on the PC or whatever, in whatever direction, on both platforms or on all these platforms. And, maybe this is the solution to growing Windows as a PC platform or growing the PC market in general. What's the difference? You know, we're going to be running Windows 10 Mobile on tiny tablets. We're going to be running it on big phones, phablets. And we're going to be running it on regular phones. They're PCs, essentially.
Yeah, that's kind of the point too, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Extends the definition of a Windows PC.
I think so.
Puts Windows 10 at the center, right?
Yeah.
It's they want it to be, we connect to everything out in the world, but we're like the hub. I feel like that's how they are positioning it, especially with this phone companion app that they were talking, right?
Yeah, I mean, I in the sense that the PC will typically be the most complex but also the most full-featured device that people use. It's the one they turn to when I need to write a school report and it's really important and I need to print it out, or I need to do something for work. It's important. This is not like Angry Birds or Candy Crush. It's something important. You know, they're positioning it as that productivity hub, you know. You know, Windows 10 is essentially that to go, you know, yep. That kind of thing. If productivity, it sort of fills the gap left by BlackBerry, if only thematically.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not trying to make lemonade out of this. I'm really just trying to explain it. I'm not trying to express this belief that this is a good thing. And you know, obviously when Windows Phone was introduced, it was supposed to be an iPhone killer or an iPhone direct competitor. It was literally designed to compete for the same audience that the iPhone was going for. And it never really achieved that. And of course, if you look at what they're doing today, the strategy is completely different.
Yeah. It is.
Well, if you're a Windows or a Microsoft user, you've got to be used to change by now.
It's still kicking and screaming days, Leo, yeah. You know? I mean,
that might be the nature of early, I know it shouldn't be. Early adopters should love change, right? That's what that means.
No, but it's not, it's expectations, you know? Apple and Microsoft are two companies that both acted like underdogs long after they weren't. Their users kind of suffer from the same mindset. Right. I think people think, you still get people, these kind of huge misunderstandings, but Microsoft can't do that because they'll be sued for antitrust.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's like, guys, that world is over. There's no circumstance they really need to worry about antitrust.
That's good.
But on the flip side, Microsoft should just make it Windows only and they'll destroy the competition is equally out of date. It doesn't work that way anymore. You know, when Microsoft beat Netscape 20 years ago, they leveraged Windows. They can leverage Windows all they want today. It's not going to beat Google and Android. Doesn't matter. It's a different world.
Yeah.
So you have to adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get over the, you know, you're comfortable. You're used to the things being a certain way.
Yeah. I think, because for 40 years, it was always Windows first, Windows best. And it's only been in the past year and a half that it's now Windows is one platform of many for Microsoft. And so you have a lot of unlearning to do. About that old
can I put that in one of your email complainers? Because let me just point out that it may be one of many, but it's the last one of many, Mary Jo.
Yes. You
know, right? I mean, this is like the type of feedback. You know.
By the way, chat room says it's the College of Fine Arts in Dresden.
Oh.
Somebody else said Liverpool, but so it's one of the two. This is what I love about the chat room. As many opinions as you want.
College of Fine Arts in Dresden.
That sounds right. It did look Germanic, didn't it?
It does look like it's in Germany.
Yeah.
I've not been to Berlin, which is why I wondered about that.
I have been to Berlin, but I don't remember anything like that. But that it looked like the statue at the top of the Brandenburg Gate a little bit, that winged victory or horse.
Okay.
I'm binging it right now, and it does look similar.
I'm binging it. Oh, Mary Jo.
Somebody has
words that have never been uttered.
You are loyal.
No, I actually use Google. Sorry.
Oh, that's even worse. She uses Google but calls it Bing.
I know. I'm just trying to give the underdog.
That is okay. So
yeah.
It is according
to
you. Do you remember, when the iPod came out, Steve Jobs was adamant, we will never make a Windows version of iTunes. Until everybody explained to him, but the vast majority of the universe is Windows users. And in fact, when he capitulated and made an iTunes for Windows, that quickly became the majority user. You know, more
His decision belatedly to have an app store for the iPhone.
Right. Didn't want to do that either.
A lot of people are trying to rewrite history and say, oh, no, they were always going to do that. You know, they just, that's actually not the case.
Right.
And so obviously in the world of 2001 to 2003, having the iPod and having iTunes on Windows is a requirement for that thing to be successful.
Yeah.
If Apple were launching those services or products today, you would never see it on Windows.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, Windows is still 1.5 billion users.
Yeah.
It's not insignificant.
But a lot of Apple's customers don't need to know anything about it or don't have to exist in that world. You know, I mean, Apple doesn't even do something as basic as, well, here's a web version of iTunes, you know, that anyone could enjoy. I think they literally don't do it out of spite because God forbid that someone on Android actually try to use it. You know, I mean, like, they don't have to do that anymore. You know?
Right.
So.
Let's see.
Bastards.
I don't know what we're talking about, but I'm sure they are.
So let me ask you, have you and Leo, have you used Google Now on iOS, which I believe means using what, the Google app?
It's an app, and it's very simple. That's actually,
is that what it is?
The closest analogy, I think, to what I would expect to see from Microsoft. So you can shout at your iPhone, "Okay, Google, all you want." Nothing's going to happen until you launch the blue icon, the Google app.
That's what I thought.
And then then that blue icon.
And then it looks like and works like Google.
Yeah, see,
now
it's listening. So I could say, okay, Google. Well, maybe not. But anyway, and then Google Now cards are here, right?
Yep.
But it's
that's the second class citizen.
And that's the problem. Yeah, Cortana's going to have the same problem because Apple's never going to let it be the thing that happens when you hit the button. That's always going to be Siri, right?
Well, of course. I mean,
yeah.
I don't begrudge them that.
I begrudge them that.
A little bit.
I do. How is, you know, I haven't really got, I don't have extensive experience with Cortana. Yep. How does it compare to Google Now?
Oh, listen, I drove across the country with my dad, who was an iDevice toting guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
Nimrod.
But, we clashed a bit on this stuff, let's say. And, His sophistication with the iPhone amounts to, you know, where is the closest Starbucks kind of thing.
Yeah, he's your dad. What do you expect? Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that they are similar. I find Cortana to be more sophisticated and a little bit more like Google Now, which, by the way, I am really impressed by.
Is that the king, then? Is that the one?
What's that? Google Now?
Yeah. I guess it is. If you put a lot of signals into Google, it certainly is. I mean, if you use Google Search and you Google Count. I mean, so I use Google Mail, this goes through my mail. And it, you know, the Gmail man reads my mail, adds cards. It's great.
I bored my wife to tears the other morning talking about this kind of stuff because Google is a company, or Amazon is a company, which you sort of have to not respect on some level. But on the other hand, you can't live without. And so how do you mentally or morally kind of deal with the fact that you're going to use these services or whatever? I mean, you're not going to, you know, it's like biting your nose to spite your face kind of thing.
Right.
I think that Google excels in certain areas that are important to people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is maps and navigation and up-to-date traffic information and route changes when there's a better route to take, and they just blow everything else out of the water. I don't think there's any, it's Google Maps and there's nothing else. As far as these digital assistants go, the thing I like about Google Now, and you just kind of showed it a bit there, and it ties into this Mary Jo's next bit, is that it's proactive, that it shows you your day. Google Now, like Cortana, will bring up a screen that says, hey, by the way, you have a flight at 7 p.m. You should leave for the airport now. You know, that kind of thing. Like, they both do that. I like that kind of, it's not Siri asking a question. Or I'm sorry, it's not you asking Siri a question, although they all do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's more information that might be useful to you. And those cards you were showing, we were talking about this earlier, Mary Jo and I. On my screen, it will show like the weather for Dedham. The Red Sox are playing at 9 p.m. tonight because they're in Minnesota. Here's the results from last night.
That. Yep.
You get this stuff that's
But Siri does. I mean, Cortana does that, right?
But Google has its tendrils into your life more than Apple does.
You give it more signals.
And my wife uses Google phones, or like Samsung phones. She often will she'll often come up to me and say, "Look at this thing that's on my phone."
Yeah.
And it's almost creepy because it does word association in your calendar, in your contacts, in your email.
It tells me when my bills are due because it sees.
Yeah, you know, and it's like you don't know how it knows that,
right?
You know, sometimes
it remembers, you know, stuff I've searched for.
It remembers
for.
Everything. It's a sentient robot. But
actually, you know, I don't get as much as I'd like. I want more. This shows me how long it's going to take to get home. It shows me where I parked my car.
Right, so you commute, it knows that.
Yep.
Here's your little route. You should go this way today, Leo, because you know, maybe there's construction on one of the roads you usually take. They're very good at that kind of thing.
And the other thing is this, they're smart because they chose this card-like interface and then duplicated it in the watch. So the wearables do the same thing.
Which I actually really like. And they work the same way. The way you're flicking that out of the way is the same sort of gesture that you use on the watch. So I, this to me is something that they get right. Microsoft does a good job. You know, Siri is fine too. But I still think they're, first of all, it doesn't matter. I mean, whatever phone you're using, you got to use the thing that's built in. That's going to be the best.
That's right. It's going to be,
no way around that. But I think of the three, I would say Google now.
It's actually a factor in how in the phones I choose, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, so that brings us to another Microsoft product that we've gotten a few leaks on in the past week called Office Now.
Hmm. What's that?
Well, it's a good question. What is it? At first, when I started looking into it, I thought maybe it was the new name of what we had called the Work Assistant before. And the Work Assistant is something that Microsoft's been building to complement Cortana that's going to help you do things like, I need the file for my next meeting, get the file, and it'll know it's in PowerPoint and it'll open it for you and get it. Now I'm starting to wonder if Office Now is almost more like Google Now, except with more of a focus on what Microsoft's strength is, right? Which is work. And so the same way you're talking about Google Now being very good with maps and traffic and things around your calendar and email, what if Office Now is that, except tied in to everything you have in Office, right? And so it knows where your documents are and it can proactively say to you, hey, you have a meeting tomorrow with blah, blah, blah. Here's who he is. Here are the documents you're going to need for the meeting. Here's how long it's going to take you to get to the building. I wonder now if that's what Office Now is. And from the leaks, we believe it's going to come out on Windows, Windows Phone, Android, and iOS. So that,
you know what, again, you know what these guys need to figure out, by the way, and it doesn't, you know, any one of these should do this, is what you just said. You're having a meeting with Bob. Here are the documents you need for that meeting. Bob's wife's name is Mary. His anniversary was last week.
Yeah, that's nice.
He has, you know, that kind of thing. He mentioned on Twitter that he was upset about something. Perhaps you could make a joke about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can almost see where this thing turns literally into the personal assistant from Veep or something. Like, it's something that's kind of plying you with information that would, in fact, be useful to you beyond on sort of a personal level.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my phone because you know what's weird? So I had my Windows phone near me. And when I just said, get me the meeting notes for my next meeting, blah, 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 I looked at my phone and the screen came up and it said, here are your notes for your next meeting.
That is awesome.
Love that.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, okay, maybe this is going to be.
Then you said, I don't have a next meeting. What's happening here?
I don't have a next meeting. So I'm like, what meeting is that?
Isn't it funny how, on the one hand, we hate the privacy invasion?
I know.
But on the other hand, it's damn useful. I've gone all in on Google because it's like, well, you know, as long as I'm getting some value from it, I don't mind setting them these signals.
And as long as you can turn it off.
And you can. And you can even, well, if you believe them, and I do, you can go to the dashboard, delete all the
signals. Like that slider that does nothing is off.
I think that they understand lie about that would be to, you know, incur the wrath.
It's not a lie, Leo. It's a software glitch. Software is imperfect. We can all agree.
I want the ability to turn off the pieces I want off, but not all of it necessarily.
Well, the dashboard's very, and for Google anyway, it's very granular.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
I don't know.
Right. As much as I'd like to grandstand and say Google is evil and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the truth is, I get it and I understand why people use it. And, you know, look, Microsoft boy travels cross country with his dad. I'll tell you what I'm not using is here Drive Plus. You know, I'm sorry. I like Nokia products. I like the app. Yada, yada. I'm sorry. I need to get home. I would probably still be driving around Kansas today if I use that thing. You know, I mean, I
come on, they're better than Bing.
I use
Bing
Google.
Maps.
I mean, I just use Google Maps. It works.
Yeah. So the reason
there's
we
an
brought
ad for
up,
Google, by the way,
there is the reason we brought up Office Now, besides the fact that we're talking about Cortana, is today on 9to5 Mac, Mark Gurman has a story about Apple's working on this thing called Proactive that looks like Google Now. It's going to go beyond what Siri can do and be more in the same vein as we're talking about Office Now and Google Now, we think. So it feels like all three of these companies are moving in lockstep, right? You had Siri, you had Cortana. Now you're having the next iterations of these where you can
do
more.
It's the new hamburger menu.
No, don't say that. More hate mail. No.
Well, no, in other words, it's not so much that each of these guys is copying each other, although I think there are elements of that. Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's also fair to say that when it comes to certain types of products, there are natural ways to do things, and it shouldn't be surprising that they're all solving the same problems that right. might all have similar features, right? The presentation of this proactive thing looks interesting to me because it looks like Google Now, kind of. You know.
And also what Office Now probably is going to be too, yeah. which it will be, hey, here's your meeting tomorrow. Here's everything you need. Here's where it is.
Knowing so how's that going to work? You say like, hey, Office, and then it pops up and...
No, it sounds like it's just like wired in that yeah. there'll be like this helper thing that when you say I need my files, it'll know like here's the most recent file you worked on. Because, you know, if we look at what is Cortana, right? It's Bing plus other things on top, right? There's natural language capabilities on top. There's machine learning. There are all these things that take Bing just kind of like the underlying search and make it more tailored and more personal. And I think that's what you have to make all these things work, right? It's not just search. It's search plus these extra things.
Yeah. Search plus. That's a good name.
Search plus.
Windows Somebody 10 probably has. Now with search plus. And Retson.
So you know it's better.
Ding.
Yep. Yep.
Nothing with plus in it is ever worse than its predecessor.
No. Never.
I wonder if in the internet age, consumers are no longer fooled by new and improved.
Well, I think they're still fooled.
Yeah, I don't think we're smarter.
Well, I mean, in keeping with the conversation about apps being updated every day, I mean, honestly, right. I think a lot of us just don't even pay attention to it anymore. Do you ever really pore over the release? I mean, we might because we're in the industry, but, you know, I just put the battery back in a Samsung device, turned it on for the first time in 2 weeks, and it spent half an hour updating apps and whatever.
I know.
And I mean, my God, it's amazing how many are updated or, you know, have been updated in that time period. And each one of them, not every one of them, but a lot of them have really long release notes. You can expand the view and see what was updated.
There's lots of stuff.
I mean, who reads that stuff? Well, I think we just get kind of, it's updated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have mixed feelings. Remember, Microsoft gotten a lot of heat for overdoing the updates, right? That's why they moved to the monthly cycle.
Sure.
But apps are often updated daily.
I mean, almost daily, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
yep.
people don't complain about it. What's the difference? I guess it's not an operating system.
Actually, here's one that Microsoft people will appreciate. You know, my wife and I both use Duolingo, which is a great app.
Love it.
The hilarious thing about it is how much it differs from platform to platform. It's almost pathological.
Yeah.
And if you think, to put it in kind of a Microsoft context, every time a new version of Windows would come out, people would rail against the changes to the start menu because they were often arbitrary. It was like they put all the commands in a blender and just put them in different places every time just to keep us on our toes. And you would kind of look at where the stuff was, and sometimes it would be little pop-up menus, and sometimes it would happen in line, and sometimes this would be here or this would be there, or they'd turn off this view and you could put it back if you wanted to, and it just seemed so arbitrary. That happened once every 3 years. Duolingo gets updated every week. Differently on at least two of those platforms.
I know.
And keeping up with the changes is like, sometimes I'll use it on the iPad. I get used to that. And then you load it on Android and you're like, what?
What?
What is this thing?
What the heck?
And then you look at it on Windows Phone and it's completely different again.
Yep.
You know, the rate of change is astonishing.
And we somehow tolerate it, I guess, because it's behind the scenes and it doesn't.
And really I think change. Also, because we're consumers in this sense, right? And we're people who like change. Right. Businesses.
By consumers, what you really mean are live beta testers of
yes,
software.
Exactly.
You know, like let's see how much in people will get enraged by this change. Oh, not too much. Let's keep going in this direction.
Yeah. But there's a certain group, and I'll wager our viewers and listeners are preponderantly in that group who celebrate it. And I can't wait. You know, what are people bitching about? The fact that the denim didn't come. Right? We want the updates.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's new. It's shiny.
And you'll have, okay. And right. Denim's a great example. Someone will have like a Lumia 1020 and they know they're not getting the camera updates. They don't like it, but they understand it. But man, are they burned when they don't have that software update. Yeah. It's like, well, what are you, what are you looking forward to here exactly? Right. What do you think is going to happen?
Magic. You know, my life finally will be okay.
Yeah.
Right. But then you have, on the other hand, business users who say, you know what I want in Windows 10? I want the ability to lock everything down so I never get any new features once Windows 10 comes out.
By the way, that's why I love business computing.
See, that's why you love it. And you wish
the world
you could
that invented
like
super glowing USB ports. Yep. I mean,
you might wish you had these days.
But you know, if you have mission critical apps, you're running a mission critical system. I get why.
I do too.
This is happening.
I do too.
I think a mission critical system would be more resilient to change, but you know, what do I know?
But no.
I don't know.
Plus, you know, like banks. Okay, take a bank. How many thousands of in-house apps do they have? And if they get a certain update and it breaks everything inside and you've got it on, you know, 100,000 users'
sure.
systems.
I mean, the systems that banks are using are not
new.
Right, right. So, yeah. You're also talking about an industry which I worked in banking for several years.
Oh, did you? Oh.
Yeah, used to string public Wi-Fi hotspots between buildings so they could communicate with a branch across the street after an acquisition, and just would horrify you if you knew some of the stuff.
Did you want to talk about Proactive, this rumored Apple? Well, is that what you
we
were talking
mentioned
about?
It just kind of in passing. You know, this is a rumor
this is the Office. When you talk about Office Now, this was the
is Apple's equivalent of Office Now. Yeah. Right.
We're trying to throw in Apple content every episode, Leo. I know we're going to keep people.
I've been missing that.
This might be a WWDC announcement, they say.
Would make sense.
Oh, everything makes sense. Apple could do anything. they made a watch. They sell 30,000 of these a week.
Mm-hmm.
For no apparent reason, except that it's an Apple Watch.
Right.
No one needs this.
That's the problem with the LG watch. Doesn't have an Apple logo on it.
I love the LG Urbane.
Doesn't matter, Leo.
But my wife tells me it's fugly, which is a word I've heard a lot lately. And so I'm wearing the Apple watch. Somehow, there is a reality distortion field. I was doing MacBreak Weekly yesterday, and they somehow convinced me to buy another one. And then, fortunately, I came to my senses. After
to buy
show.
Another one.
And I canceled.
For what?
God they have a backlog. Because it was so pretty. It was the black one with the black link bracelet. It was so pretty. So pretty. I really wanted it. It's the reality distortion field. I don't know how they do it.
Something in the water out that way.
That way?
California.
No, every way.
Apple's hardware is gorgeous. It really is. I think the only issue I have with the Apple Watch is how unnecessary it is. I mean, everyone needs a smartphone. Tablets have great utility. Computers have great utility. We all want to watch TV in the living room, that kind of stuff. Well, not Mary Jo, because, you know, no bed.
She has no living room.
Most people.
I have no living room and no TV.
Apple Watch is like, we gave up on jewelry years ago. I mean, we're not really.
I know. It's so strange.
I need something that makes, answering a text message slightly easier. You know, I really don't.
It doesn't make it easier. I just want to say you still have to. It's fiddly.
Slightly different. Sorry.
It's not easier because you have to go talk. Hello. I mean, it's not easy. It's more.
I also think this thing's a big beta test. You know, we kind of mentioned in passing this notion that Google Now. And the watch have the same gestures and work the same way with cards and have a similar UI. And I think it's attractive, but I think it also works well. I think the Apple Watch UI, to be completely ignorant, I don't have one on hand yet or whatever, but based on what I see, it's a completely new UI.
And it's weird.
It's weird. It's different. It takes some training. And I wouldn't be surprised to discover over time that they maybe make that a little more familiar.
Well, there's a clock. Everybody understands that. Whoops. Mashable is live. Oh, crap. I put Periscope on here. Now I'm getting Periscope alerts every 5 seconds from. But watch this.
I can't think of anything more useful.
Yeah, I know. You tap that. That's a UI.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It looks like a fungus is growing inside the software.
We're talking about the icon cloud that is, if you tap the crown that you get, and you can zoom out on it.
Nice.
Which is, that's really handy. Give me the overview.
Kaleidoscope. It's pretty.
It's pretty. I know people.
What does your app layout say about you, Leo?
I know people who have arranged their app layout by color. That's how.
Oh, God.
And then you can zoom in. But
in the Middle Ages, those people would have been hung as witches.
This is, I don't think this is a good UI. I'm sorry. I just.
No, I don't either. And I think that's the point. In other words, this seems experimental to me. Honestly, that's a little weird for Apple. They usually seem to kind of nail it from a user experience standpoint. I'll see for myself at some point, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't.
This is my favorite, the calculator. Now that's a useful. Hey.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey. Sure.
You have to calculate the tip and then tell the guy, yeah, I can't afford a tip because I bought Apple Watch.
I bought a watch. Your tip is zero.
Zero. In fact, you owe me $17.
Anyway, I'm wearing it. It worked. Let's take a break. Come back. We're going to talk more about Microsoft's quiet transition from the old to the new. I don't know what that means.
It's not that quiet because of Mary Jo, but
she's loud. She's telling everybody about it. It's a leak. And more AFIS product, more Microsoft AFIS, more Microsoft AFIS. Office.
AFIS. Microsoft Office.
Productivity apps. One click, clip. I didn't sleep much last night. One clip and Revolve.
Still waiting for Office Thud to show up.
Yes. I like that one. You know? We should trademark that.
Office Thud. You've been thudded.
You've got thud. Our show today brought to you by your dinner tonight by Blue Apron. We love this idea. I like to cook. I have a feeling, I know Mary Jo likes to cook. I think even somebody like Paul Thurrott likes to cook once in a while. But the problem is we're busy, busy people. We can't sit, we're in our jammies. We don't want to go shopping, but we would like to make dinner. That's where Blue Apron comes in. They will send you everything you need to make an amazing dinner for two or dinner for your entire family for less than $10 a meal. Delicious ingredients. Everything's fresh, including the meat, the fish, the poultry. But it comes in their beautiful refrigerated boxes. And you get the recipe card. Once you cook it, you feel like I'm a master chef. It is incredible. They work around your schedule and dietary preferences. And they source only the best seasonal ingredients. That's why the menu is different all the time. For incredible meals, curry spiced chicken thighs and stir-fried noodles. Does that sound good? I want you to go to blueapron.com. So you guys got your, because I wanted to make sure you got Blue Apron boxes. You got your boxes. Mm-hmm. And what'd you make, Paul?
So we had, it was three meals. And one of them was hake, which is a white fish with rice. It wasn't rice, like rice, but like rice flakes, I guess, on top. And vegetables, bok choy.
Sounds good.
Great sauce. One of them was sort of a meat and potatoes kind of thing, like steak tips with fingerling potatoes. And the other one was really interesting, and it was a, I'm going to get this wrong, but it was a ground turkey. They were like patties of ground turkey with a wheat-based kind of, I don't know what to call it, pebbly kind of, couscous kind of thing, but based on wheat. I forget the name of it.
Oh, bulgur, maybe.
That was it, bulgur.
Yeah, Mary Jo and I know about bulgur.
I do.
Okay, this is not familiar to me.
I love bulgur,
Yes. And so the thing that struck me about this stuff across the board was, first of all, the quality of the ingredients, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
The variety, which is amazing. The fact that, especially with the turkey one, it's something we would not have sought out or made on our own. And we liked being challenged just by the
food,
you know.
Yeah. These are things you probably wouldn't make just off the top of your head.
Most of them. That picture you just showed is really indicative of the quality of the vegetables.
This is what comes in the box, right?
It's amazing. And you look at that and you think, yeah, right.
Every
it's going to be like
this
flash frozen stuff.
No.
This is really high quality stuff. And my wife, who now is is a foodie and writes about nutrition for a living, was very cynical about this and was really ready to kind of rip it, apart.
Yeah.
And actually came out and said, we're not going to do this right now. Because we have awesome fresh local food in the summer, but when it's winter and we're tired of yet another root vegetable and yet another roasted whatever, let's do this because this is the quality and variety of the food is amazing.
And you see this is the recipe card. It's a coated stock, so you keep it. What did you make, Mary Jo?
Yep, I made so I get the vegetarian box.
Oh, they have one. That's nice. I was worried about that. Good. Pescatarian or vegetarian?
I got vegetarian.
Okay.
And I made a polenta with mushroom dish that was really nice. I made a Vegetarian bibimbap, you know, the Korean rice bowl.
No, I don't, but...
Nope, but go ahead.
It's a rice, it's like a spicy rice underneath, and then you have all these different vegetables that you cook separately, and you put a fried egg on top.
Oh, you're making me so hungry.
They even gave you the eggs. Like, the eggs came in the box. Yeah.
You get parsley. Like a sprig of parsley. You get everything.
Even sesame oil soy sauce in little bottles.
Like awesome? And that's the thing that's neat about it. You get exactly what you need for that recipe. Right.
That's what I really like.
Imagine if you said to yourself, I'm going to make these three recipes. I'm going to do these myself. Yeah. You would have to buy a giant bottle of each of those things that you would never use again.
Exactly.
Or would have to force yourself to use and stuff. You know. Yep. And I think that's cool.
It's exactly so awesome. The right amount of stuff, which is great. Because especially when you live by yourself, when I buy like a head of kale.
You never use it.
I have so much kale.
Yeah.
Right?
We all have that problem, Mary Jo. I can't tell you.
There's never a situation where you don't have too much kale.
We always have that issue, like using it up before it spoils.
Just drowning in kale.
This was just like, I had some Swiss chard in the box, and they were like four leaves. They were perfect.
It's amazing, isn't it funny?
I know. I was like, okay.
Great. I've never had so little, but at the same time, it's exactly what you need for that recipe.
I know.
Look, we could go on and on. Will you try it for us? BlueApron.com/twit. This was unsolicited.
It was great.
We tell our hosts you don't have to chime in on ads. This is not. But I'm so glad you guys liked it because we love it. It's really great.
No, I wanted to mention this. I mean, I'll probably write an article about it.
Oh my god!
I occasionally write. We took pictures of all the stuff. It's really kind of amazing.
That's so neat.
It's kind of a like better living through technology kind of thing.
Make a sway.
Blue Apron Sway.
Yay. Our worlds collide. BlueApron.com/twit. Your first two meals are free. Try it today. You see, I wasn't making it up. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen. The old to the new. This is a leak Mary Jo discovered.
Not like a vegetable leak.
No,
but
not those leaks.
Snooping around the campus. You gave us a great tip, by the way, for the screensavers, which we used last week.
Oh, God. You did use that one.
Yeah. I loved it on how you get your like your info.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Cool. I did a little tip about how to try to find out about a Microsoft code name.
Right.
Because a lot of times we get tips, you know, like someone will say, oh, the code name of this is blah. But you need to try to find, is it really, is this person trying to trick me? And the way you go about it, there are a lot of little tips and tricks.
Do you also feel like you have to protect your sources? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Because
yep.
Steve Jobs supposedly would do this. He would tell people different things and wait to see what got leaked and fire the person who leaked.
It happens.
He was such a great guy, wasn't he?
It happens at Microsoft, too.
Oh, I'm sure every company.
Great.
There was a rumor, and I never confirmed this, that Apple, when they hired somebody new that they were unsure of, would assign them to a phony project for like 6 months and wait to see if anything leaked out about it.
Oh, wow.
Before they trusted them. And you know what? Knowing Steve Jobs, that wouldn't be impossible. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I haven't heard that at Microsoft.
No, that's going a little too far. So, what is this leak?
So we should first give credit where it's due. There's this guy who none of us, I don't think, know who he is. His Twitter handle is H0X0D. He goes by the Walking Cat. And he is some genius about finding Microsoft stuff. He goes into files and looks for names, and he pastes stuff into Pastebin and like just goes nuts finding stuff. And then they'll say, Mary Jo, I found this. See if you can figure out what it is.
We both follow him for a reason.
We all follow him for a reason. Whoever this guy is, none of us know who he is.
We assume it's a him. I don't know why we said him.
I think it's a him. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So he found some references to a couple new Microsoft apps. Remember we were talking last show about Flow, which we had found out was a lightweight email and chat application. He was one of the people who helped unearth that. But now there are more. He's found more. And one of them that he found was OneClip. OneClip is like a web clipboard that you can use across all your devices, Windows, iOS, Android. And so if you have something that you wanted to bring with you and you know use it on another device, like say you had not a password necessarily, because you probably wouldn't want to do that, but like say you had a sentence for me, like a sentence I wanted to paste onto an email on another device, I would paste it into this clipboard and be able to use it across my devices. So this is a real Microsoft product that they're building. We found out that it's being built by the Microsoft Garage, which is their incubator that they have on campus that does experimental apps. So that one's out there. And I think he even pasted some code so that people could download it and try it, even though it's not available yet officially. Another one that he found was called Revolve. And we had heard about Revolve before. That is another Microsoft Garage app. But he found that there's going to be a Windows Phone version, not just an iOS version of this. Revolve is this kind of app that lets you know about contacts of yours before you're going to meet with them. So it gives you details about people who might be in your next meeting. Again, this is a garage app, so it's experimental, something that's meant to kind of be a mobile-first type app across platforms.
But that's kind of like that Cortana feature you're talking about.
Yeah, in a way, right? Yeah. Yep.
Your next meeting is, and here's what you should know.
And here are the people you're going to meet with, and here's something about them so that you don't go in all unprepared.
Don't you feel like this is a Steve Ballmer feature?
This sounds like that, what's that fit? That Dr. Seuss book, you know, oh, what a great success you'll be, or whatever.
The places you'll go.
Yeah, all the places you'll see, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's how they should style it like that. It should look like a Dr. Seuss thing. So awesome. Oh, the places you'll go. Today, you'll be going to lunch with Bob. And then tonight.
Look up my blog post, because it has kind of that kind of an image, too. We've got a screen.
Does it really?
Welcome to Revolve. There's a guy in the center of the circle, and then there are all these little things around, you know, which are like calendar and contact information. So you can find out all about this guy you're about to have this meeting with. It tells you, it kind of combines your calendars and your contact information together.
It does, actually.
So those two apps are apps in process. Then there are even more. There's this app I heard about from another contact of mine, not Walking Cat, but someone else, called Highlander. That's the real code name. And Microsoft's had other things codenamed Highlander before.
What's the Highlander slogan, Paul? You must know that.
There can be only one.
That's what I thought.
Right. So obviously there's more than just one, since there are multiple Highlanders.
Oh, this is cute. Is Revolve looks just like
that's
the
Revolve.
Apple Watch. Great.
That's great.
Not quite
isn't
that bad, is it?
People are circles, Leo.
You tell me. So let me show you the interface I'm thinking about on the Microsoft Watch that I think it looks just like. Whoops. When you tap.
The Apple Watch, you mean?
I mean the Apple Watch. When you tap this, you get your circle of people.
It looks
similar.
What was similar is maybe not strong enough of a word.
Well, anyway, I'm sure they were thinking of this long before Apple ever did.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, the places you'll go.
Yeah, Skype uses a lot of
starting with your meeting with Bob at 10.
Like if you look at
this
Skype,
is a great idea.
No, Skype and Skype for Business now are changing everything to be in circles too. So
really?
Microsoft's going circles. Yeah,
not just Skype. It's all across Microsoft. This is their new thing.
You know, a circle really is just a form of rounded rectangle.
That's true.
Like extremely
Apple should
rounded
sue them.
Yes.
It's half of a hamburger.
In fact, it's a
hamburger
perfectly rounded rectangle.
Yeah, it's a completely rounded rect.
It's the natural evolution of rounded rectangle.
Okay, back to Highlander, guys.
Sorry, yes. Please.
Actually spit there. Thank you for keeping us in track.
Okay, Highlander is kind of interesting.
That's good.
Come on. A lightweight project management app. Mm. So, you know, Microsoft already has a thing called Project, which is a fully featured project management app. This is meant more for everyday people, like more like a task manager / project management thing. Keeps track of your to-dos and the progress you're making on different tasks. This is an app Microsoft's building at least for iOS and probably across platform. I've even got a couple of people who say they've seen it. And one guy says it's being used inside Microsoft by people with iPhones. I don't know. That's another one. Yet another example of Microsoft building all these, this new category of mobile first productivity apps.
On iOS.
And then there may be one more. I got kind of conflicting tips on this one. It may be called Flip, or it may not be called
Flip. Okay.
Flip. Awesome. F-L-I-P.
Flip. Yeah.
And this sounds like a lightweight document collaboration kind of app that may include what's in Flow. So some of that chat kind of functionality, but also specific to documents so that if you're collaborating with someone on a document, you can work together in a lightweight way across, again, iOS, Android, and Windows. I don't know where that one is at, if that's actually being used or still in development or just under consideration. But all of these things are examples of, you know, Microsoft doing these new kinds of productivity apps, just kind of throwing things out there, I think, seeing what sticks, seeing how it's going to take off on different platforms. And if it does, maybe making it part of their Office suite of offerings someday, like they did with Sway, right? They threw Sway out there on iOS. They did a web version, and now they're rolling it out to Office 365 because people like it.
Oh, they are. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yep.
When's that happening?
So I think that you're going to see that happen more and more. People will start, you know, they'll throw that out there, see how the reception of these different apps is, and if it is well-received, turn it into something more as part of their whole stable of apps.
Right. And that's happening right now, by the way, Leo.
Oh, good.
Sway on Office 365.
And it'll be desktop yeah. Sway. That's great. Yay.
Yep. Yep. But still no Windows Phone Sway yet. Half a year.
It's about mobility of experiences, Mary Jo. Huh?
Yes.
Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Anybody?
So what was your quiet transition realization, Mr. Thurrott?
Good question.
That Microsoft moving its traditional Office productivity solutions to mobile platforms seems like a big deal, but actually it's fairly obvious. You know, why do bank robbers rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Why would Microsoft put Office apps on iOS and Android? That's where users are. But that's old school. That's the old way of doing things. I mean, those apps all came up out of a world where we kind of went to a place, sat in front of a computer, it had a keyboard and a mouse and a screen, and we did productivity work. You know, what's the new productivity? It's these smaller mobile apps, and that the couple of apps that we knew about at the time, the original app, whatever it was that had leaked the week before, I said was the tip of the iceberg, that we're going to see tons of these little apps, mostly on iOS and Android. And that's what we're talking about here. That all the things that you know, that this person has leaked and you've written about is exactly what I predicted a week before it happened.
And you know, what's worth?
Things are the future.
They are. And you know what's worth pointing out? Because people bring this up every time. These apps that we're talking about, we think they're all free. So everybody says, okay, so what is Microsoft getting out of putting these apps on iOS and Android, right? Like if Revolve is free on iOS, what does Microsoft benefit?
They make it up in volume.
Yep.
Thank you.
And they get a hook into you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They get hooks
they
into
hook you,
right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like you're somebody who's like, oh, Microsoft, all their apps are terrible, right? And then you try one. All you need is just one little hook, and then you're like, oh, that Revolve app, that was okay.
Right, listen, if you use Android, grab the next lock screen. It's amazing. I mean,
yeah.
They make I don't want to ruin my pick for later, but they have some amazing stuff on other platforms.
Not old either. I mean, not new either. They did it with a Photosynth, right?
Yeah.
That right. was a perfect example of an app. Gosh, this looks great. Wow, Microsoft made it.
How the hell did Photosynth sneak out during Steve Ballmer's tenure in Microsoft? I guess no
labs,
credit for
anything.
Yeah, it was. I think it was one of those labs, like Windows Live Labs or Live Labs or one of those things. Yeah,
sure.
Kind of under the radar type thing. But then, okay, so say even then Microsoft gets their hooks into you, right? What do they get out of it? Their big plan, like the master plan, is at some point they want to drive you to the products that they're going to use as subscription products, right? So even though these things are free, the hope is at some point you'll use the free things and then you'll say, oh, there's a version. I just want this one feature. So I'll pay them, you know, $5 a month to unlock this one feature. Then you're in. Then you're captured.
What
you're
are we
going
to do to get you in this car today?
But that's also exactly. time honored for the last few years. Freemium. That's
yep.
how Evernote yep, sure. works. Everybody knows this works.
Yep.
Right. Well, but Microsoft applying it to their most cherished software platform is kind of amazing. When
yeah,
because they
have to give away something they used to charge for, right?
Yeah. Right.
Well, there's lots of precedent for that in the software world, too. I mean, Netscape did it, and those guys did great gangbusters. Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Adobe, right?
I don't know.
No, how about Adobe, though? Like, you know, putting more things in the cloud, right? Some things free, but most not. Getting you hooked in.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's what they're doing now. More and more. I think we're going to hear more and more leaks about productivity apps. I have one other one I'm working on that I won't spill the beans on yet, but there's another one.
Office to us and to our grandparents, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Office to a new generation of people coming up in the world, maybe these apps or some other apps that we don't know about yet. It's going to be a different thing. And they're, you know, again, they're consuming computing resources on little screens and that they carry in their pocket. You know, it's a different world.
It's interesting because there are so many of them, but they're all little. They all, and this is kind of going back to the original.
They're cute.
Nuclear computing model. That
the Unix.
Unix was behind. Lots of.
Yeah. One command does one thing.
Yeah. And I kind of like that model, although then you get hundreds of apps on your device and it gets a little out of control.
No, Leo. Then you get Olay on your device and everything is screwed.
Yeah, because you need.
you know, you need some inter process communication service.
Right.
Olay.
Wow. Object linking and embedding.
That's a
those
blast.
Are the days.
Whatever happened to that?
Well, the thing she just talked about, OneClip is the logical extension of that. It's Olay applied to the operating environment of today, which is the internet. I want to copy and paste something on my PC and then walk out to the car and, or I should say copy on my PC, paste it into my phone and keep going. Hilarious. What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? 40 more hardware maker deals to bring Microsoft apps to Android devices.
This is interesting.
This is like that I got with my Galaxy S6 where I got Skype, OneNote, and OneDrive built in.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep. So Microsoft's striking more of these deals.
Makes sense. They're all tablets, though. That's a little interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So, they announced this week that they have 20 more. And of the 20, I think you probably recognize two names, LG and Sony.
Right.
The other ones are more regional OEMs. I had never heard of any of these. Cube in China. General Procurement in the United States, Grupo Nucleo in Argentina. So there are all these different tablet makers, some making just tablets very specifically for particular markets. But Microsoft says they have struck deals with them. They'll be putting a combination of Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, OneDrive, and Skype on these tablets in the near future. So now they have 31 of these partnerships. They already had Who? Sony? Samsung they had, right?
Dell.
Yep. So they have got a few big names mixed in with some of these regional names.
Samsung's and the they, name, though, right? I mean,
that is. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have to say, while I begrudge, bloatware on my phone, having Skype, OneDrive, and OneNote was not, I didn't perceive, that was value. I didn't perceive that as bloatware.
Yeah.
It's not like the
Verizon.
It's
no Candy Crush saga.
Yeah. The Verizon app or,
Sure.
Actually, if they'd come with Candy Crush saga, I would have already been hooked.
You'd be okay with it.
I wouldn't mind that. Talking about freemium. There's a freemium success story.
Yep.
Very true. But if you look at what's Microsoft doing, they're circling the wagons, right? We're talking about, first they're bringing apps like Cortana to Android. At the same time, they're doing these kind of deals where they're doing bundling deals with Android tablet makers. Then they're even doing that deal we wrote about earlier this year with Cyanogen, where Microsoft's building custom versions of certain Microsoft apps that Cyanogen will include in their Android distribution. So Microsoft's trying to figure out how to kind of circle the wagons around Android. And, you know, the way they're presenting it is we want to have our apps everywhere that you are, even if you're on Android. But really, I think they're just trying again to see which of these strategies is going to work and help them compete in this market where they're lagging way behind Android and iOS.
Strategy. Imagine that.
Strategy.
What a concept.
I know. Crazy.
Better than tragedy.
Yes. All right. Anything I should be looking for? I'm still using 10122. I see 10125 has been leaked.
Has it?
Has it or has it?
Yes, it has.
You're the experts.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a major change from the public release, other than the fact that you get it in ISO form and do a clean install,
good.
Which I
nice.
Really prefer.
Yeah.
So
even
a few small
really,
changes.
Even on the beta that you would do a clean install each time? Or
I would. Yeah. I think that a lot of the You know, I mean, it's obviously valuable to get feedback related to upgrades, but not from beta to beta upgrades. I mean, I think a lot of the gunk you see, and I saw this on Windows Phone, by the way. I talked about the disastrous last build of Windows 10 for phone. You clean install that on the same device. It's actually not horrible. And that's very interesting to me. So I think on a well-used device, you know, that could be problematic. But but anyway, this one has some interesting small things in it. There's Microsoft had talked about a universal back button that they were going to put on the taskbar, and it never kind of appeared. And they started adding back buttons inside of apps, and I thought, well, maybe they're not going to do this. But actually, it is, it's in 10.125, and it only appears in tablet mode, where the icons clear out of the taskbar, and you just have just kind of the standard set of buttons. And one of them now is a back button. So it works like the back button on a Windows Phone. Just gives you a way to navigate by touch.
I actually like that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You'll be delighted to discover that the start menu gets a hamburger. The start screen gets a hamburger menu.
It's about time.
Yeah. And that brings up kind of that all apps list and the, you know, the recently accessed apps and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool. I also noticed, because I installed it in a VM, that when you install it in a low resolution device, you get one column of apps, of tiles, I should say. And it looks not exactly like, but a lot like Windows Phone, which I thought was kind of interesting. Updated icons. This is actually, it's such a small thing, but the truth is there's been a lot of uproar over the crazy icons that Microsoft has been testing in Windows 10. And so in this build, they've actually really toned them down. They were really bright and glary looking.
How funny.
And now they look more like the icons to me that are in Windows 8.
Do you think
8.
That was the intent all along, or this is in response to the uproar?
This is absolutely in response to complaints.
Funny.
People were freaking
cracks me up.
And beyond that, it's just fit and finish stuff for the most part.
Getting close, think, to the release?
Yeah, it's a lot of fit and finish, and that's the point. Windows Hello has actually been available in Windows 10 for a while. I use it on my ThinkPad X1.
Why do I always want to call it Windows Hello?
Hello.
Windows Hello. Hello. I don't know.
I hate that
someday,
name.
Leo.
It's a terrible name. Hello, Windows.
It's got the little eyebrow things that kind of look around.
Hello.
You know,
like
if you scan your finger incorrectly, it will kind of, it looks at you like, what's going on here? You know.
That's the new sign-on stuff.
Right.
With does biometrics.
So the fingerprint stuff's been around. I've been using it on at least three different builds. But I believe what's new, I think the thing people have noticed is there's a way to, it doesn't work if you don't have the correct hardware, so it doesn't work. But there's a way to set up face scanning so that you can get that going if you have the right hardware.
You have to have the Hello camera, which nobody does yet, right?
Right.
But this is what we talked about last week. Is it worth waiting for Windows 10 machines to use Windows 10? I mean, that's a minor.
I honestly don't think Windows Hello is what's going to put it over the top. Although I think that but it will be a nicety, right? I think it would be a convenience. Yeah.
Somebody said it's Windows Hello Lady.
Yeah, right, exactly. Cleveland.
The companion app's not in this build, right?
No, it's not.
No. That's Hello Lady. That's the companion app.
That is.
Not yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see that app just appear, you know, anyone on Insider Preview could get. Or maybe it appears in a build. I don't know. But it seems like the type of thing they could throw down at any time.
I'm going to read this.
And who doesn't want to throw down?
Throw down here. Hello.
Lady.
Lady.
Yeah. So,
pretty lady.
We're never going to get out of this loop, Mary Jo.
No, we're stuck. Once you go Jerry, you never come back. Windows App Studio Beta.
Yeah, so I don't know. Did you write about that? I'm sorry. I don't remember who's this.
I did not.
Is this yours?
It's all yours, Paul. Sorry.
Okay. Damn it.
Damn it.
No, Microsoft is a really cool web-based app maker that I've talked about a lot and recommended in the past. And it supported Windows Phone apps originally. In fact, I think it was originally called Windows Phone App Studio or whatever. It later supported Windows 8, 8.1 apps, whatever. And now in the latest version of it, it supports Windows 10 Universal Apps. And it has all the Universal App controls you would expect. It does like auto scaling and auto layout for device orientation, screen size, and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool. And then it has a bunch of features that are true of all apps that you might make. And I was interested to see, among them are two things that I think are kind of a big deal. One is you can use the Bing Maps control now in your own apps, which is really neat. But they also have the ability to query. They don't really call it the Xbox Music control, but whatever. I haven't looked at this yet. But what it says is you can now query the Xbox Music catalog. So if you, I think one of the types of apps that's kind of a big deal with this free and simple to use tool is you make an app about your favorite band. And what this would allow you to do is link to their albums, to their songs. And then when people click that link, that music would play in the music app on Windows 8.1 or 10. And so that's new. And that's kind of an interesting thing. And so it's still a beta. This thing's been a beta for years. It's, I don't know whenever it comes out of beta, but as of today, I guess if you go up there, you can now create Windows 10 apps with it, which I think is the big deal. And I believe it is for phone and PC.
Neat. App,
those apps. Yeah.
That's probably what our buddy Dimitri Lialin is using for our new Twit app, I would guess.
Well, the other I suspect he's doing something a little more complex.
He's going to do XAML.
But you could start an app in this tool and then download it and put it into Visual Studio and go from there. So you can actually, like for example, today you can't submit apps to the Windows 10 App Store. So you would make these apps for yourself now just for testing purposes. But in the future, you could actually take that app, publish it to the store, and have it go out in, so that anyone could get it. Or you could bring it into Visual Studio and then add functionality that's just not possible to do with the free tool and using other languages, you know, C#, whatever. So it's really, it's not a little toy toolkit. Like you can actually make really professional apps and then go from there with them into Visual Studio.
This is actually really cool.
Yeah, it's neat.
Android has something like this. Google did a thing called App Inventor.
No, it doesn't. Stop.
No. This is actually more pro. But App Inventor, kids use it and stuff like that. But I used App Inventor to create a little app for my tablet for the radio show to count down when I have to take a break and stuff like that. And it was really useful for that. It was very easy to do. And, it just counts down. And you could put it on an Android device. Cool. I'd probably do the same thing if I had a Windows device. I'd probably do the same thing.
I see.
You might.
I see.
But look at it this way. I don't mind this old Nexus 7. It's a nice big screen. I don't mind dedicating it to a countdown timer because. Sure. Right, it's not doing anything else, and it sits.
Notice the app doesn't automatically orient as you flip it around.
Oh man, I've locked it. That it does.
I see.
Don't knock my app, man. It's my app, man. 32 application updates. It just proven what you said.
See, exactly. You see what I'm saying? It really is amazing.
No, I guess it doesn't. You're right, but I don't care because. So that's sure. App Inventor is much more. It looks like much more primitive than App Studio for. For Windows. This actually looks really
good. Yeah, they've kept this going for years now. It's really improved a lot.
I wasn't aware of it. Thank you for filling me in. And it's free.
Yep.
Appstudio.windows.com.
They really want you to make Windows 10 apps, Leo.
They do.
Would you just make a Windows 10 app?
How come Visual Studio ain't free, man?
I don't know.
Well, it is free. I mean, you can get Visual Studio for free.
Basic edition or something, right?
Yeah. Express?
No, it's not that basic. It's a pretty impressive version.
It's all you need.
If you look at Visual Studio Community, it is basically what Visual Studio Professional was.
Oh, minus the ability to ship apps or something, or
right. So I'm not really sure what the license restriction is.
I think you as an
individual could ship apps.
Oh,
yeah, individual developers can, but
commercial entity. All right, that's good.
Right. If you were working for a company, you would need to have purchased Visual Studio. Cool. Yeah, I think so.
Yep, I think so too.
I don't really know much about Microsoft products, Leo. I'm not sure why you're asking that question.
We need someone who does. Who?
Who could that be?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I believe you, Paul. Microsoft is taking its first steps towards merging Outlook.com with the Outlook web app. Anybody who's worked in business has used the Outlook web app. Yuck.
And is now seeking therapy for this.
Yuck. So, but Outlook.com's awesome, and they have the sweep fee, all these nice features.
Yeah. So, we knew that Microsoft has a single team that's working on Outlook.com, Outlook, and Exchange. There's one unified team now. It's been that way for a few months. And finally, they're starting to bring Outlook.com together more with Outlook. The way they're doing that is they're taking some of the features they've debuted in Outlook web app, and they're bringing them to Outlook.com. Oh. So things like clutter, you know, for decluttering your inbox.
That was in the web app first.
That was in the web app first.
See, I was all wrong.
Or for Outlook, for Outlook web app, like Office 365, right? It's clutter.
Yeah, Office 365.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're going to be bringing other new features to Outlook.com that are going to try to make it feel a little more like the Outlook web app, but they're still preserving it as a consumer app. So they're doing things like 13 new themes for this too. They're going to be bringing a whole ton of new features over the coming weeks to Outlook.com. Right now, just a very small number of people have it in test. I don't know who those people are. We're not among those people. Are you, Paul? I'm not. No, but they're going to be bringing this out. And at the same time, they dropped a line into this post that both Paul and I were puzzling over a little bit. I'm looking for the exact line. They said, we will be upgrading Outlook.com to a new Office 365-based infrastructure. And so I was like, oh, does that mean they're going to put Outlook.com on the servers that Office 365 runs on? No. Is Outlook.com going to share the backbone with Office 365? No.
Well,
it just means
over time, maybe. I took
maybe
it to mean over time.
Over time, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
They never said that because I asked them again. I'm like, what does that mean? And so they said, it just means that the two services are going to be using more of the underlying components in common so that will make it easier for Microsoft to update both platforms in a more rapid way. So, you know, if you may have seen some stories or posts saying Microsoft's migrating Outlook.com to its Office 365 infrastructure. It's not really, at least not now. Your eyes are rolling up in your head, Paul.
My eyes? Well, I'm trying. It's hard. I hate thinking about this topic because
I know it's really
it's
hard
confusing.
To get it
the,
right.
The way they, but my understanding is for the short term, what they're doing is consolidating the user experience so that they look similar, if not identical. They offer a similar feature set, right? So clutter and some of the other features they're bringing to Outlook.com, I think are good things.
Yep.
But that the goal over time is to consolidate the products, and we'll see where that takes us because, you know, who knows, years down the road. Yep. But, you know, I think you used the comparison of Skype and Skype for Business is a good one because they're never going to be exactly the same. But for the user, they should look and behave the same. Yep. I think that's the point, the overreaching point.
So it's less of a jarring experience if you happen to use both. Because right now, if you do use both like I do, I use Outlook and I use Outlook.com. And when I go between the two, I'm always like, which one am I using right now? Yeah. Okay.
each one of them has stuff that's better than the other, right? Yeah. Which I think is the weird bit. So hopefully they figure that out.
It's all coming together. Another strategy.
It's all coming together. God, I wish that were true.
I know.
Come together. This is like conjugating, you know, it will all come together in the future. What is that? Future perfect
participle.
Yeah.
It will all.
Will it?
It's the subjunctive tense. That's all.
Future predictive tense.
Did you know? You're a writer. You must know all that stuff.
No, I don't. That's the problem. I don't know what I have a problem remembering.
Does your editor ever say you used a dangling participle, Thurrott?
No.
Knock it off.
I will never. I would open hand slap that person. How dare you, sir?
How dare you split that infinitive?
There were no dangling participles.
It's because I have bad memories of the web app. That's what that's like Clear Channel makes me use that when I log into my, once a year, when I log into my company account for the radio show. I have to use Office web.
After the mad scramble for what's my password again?
You know what really pisses me off? They change it every few months. So I never have the same.
You only access it once a year, so now you're out.
It's like, why am I making a password? I never know how to get in. I have to call you every time.
This is why when I used to do expenses at Penton, it was like the first time I did it every single time I did it.
Corporations are not fun.
They're not designed for humans.
If I ever get like that, slap me upside the head. I'm sure my staff will.
Right there. This is like someone we can't see, like raising their hand.
Yeah. Leo, you made us use what?
There's a line of people like in that airplane movie, yeah, all right, waiting to smack
with
you in a different
pipes and
way.
Chains. And more OneNote apps.
Yeah, so this is just a short one. You know, OneNote has become this open. It's become Evernote. Let's just call it Evernote. They've done the Evernote thing. Yeah. It's available for free to everybody,
which is ironic.
Added Evernote extensibility to the platform
to compete with
apps.
OneNote. So
yeah, there's all kinds of neat stuff there. And so there's a growing collection of OneNote apps, and they've added a few more. Well, they added three more, but the big one for me, and I have not tried this. You have to, actually have to install a plugin. Is there's a WordPress plugin for OneNote. So if you use WordPress, which I do on Thorod.com,
me too,
you will get a OneNote button in the toolbar, meaning that you could actually write articles in OneNote.
Oh, neat.
And then publish them into a post and just add the couple, you know, like the title and a few
that's
topics.
That's awesome.
Whatever. Yeah. And so that's really interesting. And, you know, it's interesting what happens when you open up a platform like this to extensibility, you know, so you see these kinds of things.
I am. Cool. That's really cool. You know, we're going to Europe next month, and I really want a way to kind of travel blog. You know, something
Sway.
Sway. Does, I mean, what Mary Jo did with Sway was great, but I'm just thinking. I don't know. I feel like there should be a way. I've looked.
Sway's not a bad way. Yeah. Sway is the way.
Sway is the way. Is it? Well, you did it. Yeah, you did it for your road trip. Is it easy?
Yes, and
it is really
what you'll find yourself doing is really playing with it because there are some neat presentation things you can do. Yeah. But I think the thing that's neat about it is you can just keep kind of piling it on. You can keep adding to it.
I looked at an app called Live Trekker that does a GPS track, and then anywhere you take pictures, it puts it on a map, and you can record audio or video, puts it on a map.
I added maps to mine. I added maps of each drive. Stage drive and all that.
Oh, that's right. You had maps. That's right.
But I think
you can have video too. You can have video.
I think the web-based approach is the best way because that works on any device, including phones, and it's publicly accessible.
Here's the issue, though, is connectivity won't be ubiquitous. So I want something I could do on the phone, and then when I get near Wi-Fi, we'll upload it.
There's a Sway app for iPhone.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking for the right answer to that.
Yeah.
But I'd ideally like it to go to my blog. That's why I was interested in this OneNote WordPress.
You can embed Sways in your blog too.
You can. But it's hosted.
So you could do.
It's hosted.
I mean, you could. Where are you going? First of all, how many days is this?
It's 2 weeks in Germany, in Netherlands,
so you're
Germany,
going all
Hungary.
You're going to go to different locations.
Yeah, all set for Middle Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could do. Are you doing the river thing, by the way, like a riverboat?
Yeah, riverboat. Kind of
So
I got my. I'm going to be a gambler. I'm going to play poker and win fare back.
It's not the Mississippi in the 1800s. But you could do a different sway for each location, for example. And then you could just have that kind of collection of sways.
All right.
And each one
could
be a post. It's a thought.
Sam in the chat room is reminding me Posterous, which is gone now. But I used that when I was in China. Mm-hmm. I used a couple of things in China. Because China, you really have – Posterous let you email everything to your website. So because China, you had no access to anything. Yeah. But they couldn't cut off email. So I was emailing all my posts. I want to figure out a way to – make it work anyway.
Go look at Sway.
I think I will.
I liked it.
I'll probably bring in an iPhone. I'm not sure what I'm bringing.
You're gonna have to bring one now. You're gonna use Sway.
Well, and you know, even though it's completely useless, I have to go with the Apple Watch.
Listen,
figure out what it's like to travel with the Apple Watch.
I couldn't agree more. And but it's 2015, so you're gonna be on this boat on a river.
Yeah.
Danube River.
It's the Rhine, the Main, and the Danube.
Rhine. Wow. So I bet you have Wi-Fi access on this boat.
Yes.
So I think
not super great, but good enough. And of course, my 3G will 4G.
I think it's going to be fine. I really don't think you're going to have a problem.
It's going to be fine, says Paul.
Okay, Paul. I hope you're right.
I mean, you could use.
I demand that you use Sway. I think it would work. I think it would work for you.
And it is now, as you mentioned, in Office 365. That's
play with it. Go up.
I will. I am. I'm going to do a pre-trip.
Yeah. Just pretend you're. Yeah. Right. Just put some photos.
See how it works.
Do a brick house Sway.
Oh, I could do that.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to use the song "Brick House."
Well, see the brick house. That's why we call it the brick house. Somebody suggested. When we, before we moved, we were looking for names.
It was either that or you dropped a bomb on me.
Yeah. Somebody said you should call it the Brick Twit House.
Oh, that would have been cute.
Wouldn't that? But I didn't, because I didn't want the scatological implications. No. But we do call it the Twit Brick House, because it's a lot of bricks.
Yeah, no, I get
it. It's actually a wood frame structure.
they're a brick. Yeah.
But the brick wood, but the twit wood frame structure house didn't really sound, didn't have that same punch.
Well, first you did the hay house, and then you moved towards the sticks.
The sticks.
You know, I mean, it's a logical progression.
And who could be the big bad wolf? Let me think. Salesforce, final thoughts. Salesforce plus Microsoft.
Yeah, the timing on this one was pretty crazy. A couple days before Memorial Day, or maybe even the day before, CNBC comes out with a report saying, hey, not only was Microsoft the mystery company that was bidding on Salesforce, but they bid $55 billion, a very precise number. Mm. But Salesforce wanted $70
billion. Whoa, Benioff. You got some... Sure. You know,
in other words, the delta was two Nokias.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a company that makes $5 billion a year.
CRM software. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Is there a multiple that you can always say like, well, you know, this time sales equals your sale price? Obviously not for startups, because most of them make zero.
The multiple is 17.
Is it? Really?
It is something ludicrous.
I'll take 17. That's a good number.
I mean, I could see the synergies to some extent. Like, you know, Microsoft is in CRM online. Salesforce is. You know, Microsoft would like to be a bigger player there. Maybe just take over Salesforce CRM and boom, you're a bigger player.
Does Microsoft have CRM?
Yeah, they do. They have Dynamics CRM and CRM online. But they're a much smaller player in that space than Salesforce. But... $70 billion, and you have to have Mark Benioff as one of your managers.
Do you though? I mean,
he wouldn't.
That
last,
was part
right?
of the deal.
Oh, he'd be
I would
gone
say I'll take $70 billion, but you're out.
Right. Yeah. There you go. That's a negotiation.
So, Mary Jo, you would know a lot more about this than I do. But don't you think that Salesforce and Microsoft is actually a fairly natural commingling? And given the future of this company, makes plenty of sense. Granted, $70 billion is crazy, but. Yeah.
Well, so you have to, as a I put my journalist hat on and I'm like, okay, who leaked this and why?
Ah, good point.
Because somebody leaked this to CNBC, obviously, and there was a reason they did it. The reason is probably they want to either get another company interested or they want to bring them back to the bargaining table.
No. You mean you're thinking Salesforce leaked it? But why would they leak it has to be. Why would they leak $70 billion?
This is Microsoft made an incredibly big offer, and these jerks actually wanted more for some reason.
And Microsoft couldn't believe it. Yeah. And said,
my guess is Microsoft probably was the leaker, but maybe to bring them back to the table with a more realistic number.
Like put
maybe.
Some pressure on them from the board and the shareholders.
Yeah.
You asked for what?
Yeah,
you turned down what?
Like a lot of those people would be saying, "Wait a minute, they were going to give us $55 billion, and you said no."
Yeah,
seriously.
I should look it up. I wonder how much Mark has in the company.
Yeah,
how much of that?
But can you see Mark reporting to Satya?
No.
You know they've been cited in more places together, like at Build. Mark Benioff was right in the front row at Build.
Well, partner then. You don't have to buy them.
Yeah, they're already partners, right?
Yeah.
But part of me says, wow, that would be, and the CNBC report said this as well, that would have been a very, very huge first big acquisition for Satya Nadella.
Right.
Like, wow, you better be really right about
but
that.
That's more, you're that's placing more than a stake in that cloud.
I know, but they were going to, remember when Ballmer was going to buy Yahoo?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, but Yahoo. That's
and someone
hilarious.
Talked him off the ledge at the last minute.
Right. I think there were you have to think everyone at Microsoft who was trying to, especially the people who were charged with, show me how this is going to make sense. You know, what parts of Yahoo going to what parts of Microsoft? And those people were looking at, like, what is this stuff? Are you kidding me? I mean, it made no sense at all.
Yeah. Not to mention, I know that Salesforce Cloud does not run on Azure. Okay. So I think it runs
not yet
on
it doesn't
own.
But what was the what was the Yahoo price? Was it 40 billion? Was
45 billion?
45.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean that was several years ago. I mean
it was Yeah, it was like 2007, Yahoo. I remember because I was finishing my book.
How big is Yahoo really? I mean, they're like two kids selling lemonade on the corner of the street on a hot day. Yeah,
it was so awful. This was awful. Yeah. I was finishing writing my book about Microsoft, and then I put the finishing touches on it and sent it in as the final. And literally a week later, Microsoft bid on Yahoo.
This is why you don't want to write a book with
me. This is why I don't want to write a book again.
Jeez, Mary Jo. This is why we write about the past. It's not going to change.
That would have been easier, right? But it's so boring to write
about. You don't write about the next Microsoft. You write about the old Microsoft. See,
that's what most people do, but I foolishly tried something else.
Anyway, Microsoft.
I don't know if it's ever going to happen, Salesforce and Microsoft. In some ways, I'd be very surprised. In some ways, I would not be surprised.
Right.
It fits with their productivity mission, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and it would give them a presence in the valley.
Right. There you go. And, integrates very nicely. Dynamics goes away and it becomes Microsoft Salesforce. It makes sense.
Or you just have multiple CRM suites. They have multiple ERP, so why not CRM to do that?
What's ERP?
Enterprise Resource Planning. All your financials, manufacturing, all your back end.
And CRM's customer. I know. Customer research.
Hey, guys, this is what powers the company.
Oh, no, I know.
I'm sure it's really important, like air.
there's BI, there's business intelligence, there's ERP. Yep. Is project management in ERP?
I think it's more.
Leo, why are you? You're leading her on. What are you doing?
I'm trying.
She's going to answer that question now.
It's more finance. Right?
Yeah, more like financials and manufacturing. Yeah. All of your back end stuff to run your business.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I got plenty of back end. I got a. I'm sorry. Moving on. Let's take a break in the back of the book. Speaking of the back end, coming up in just a bit. Paul and tips and beer and stuff. But first, a word from Prosper.com. I love Prosper.com. It's a great idea. Just as an example, and I had this happened to me when I was a younger fella. You run up the credit cards, right? It's so easy to charge stuff, buy stuff. And then, what you don't pay attention to is the fact that the interest on that stuff, if you're not paying it off every month, which I do now, the interest on it is like double digit. It could be like, it's huge. And you get to the point very quickly where you're paying nothing but interest. So along comes you could borrow money, I guess, to pay it off from your mom or your brother. Not a good idea. These relationships are much more important than money. You go to Louis the Loan Shark down the street, but you like your kneecaps, right? Most people would go to a bank, but banks, personal loans, banks are not crazy about those. It's hard to get them. In comes Prosper, and this is something the internet has really done, and it's so great. It's a peer-to-peer lending marketplace, not a bank. Prosper brings people with money to lend together with people who want to borrow money. And it's just a great way to get a low fixed rate on a loan up to $35,000, pay off those credit cards. You can actually go to Prosper.com right now, Prosper.com/twit, and get your rate quote. You won't have to give them a whole bunch of stuff. It's a very simple form you fill out, and no, it won't affect your credit score. And you'll find out how much you could borrow, what interest rate. It's just that simple. You don't have to make a phone call or anything. Just go to prosper.com/twit and then make the decision. But I tell you what, if you're paying 18-19% on credit cards, this is just a no-brainer. Or, there's lots of other things you might want to do. Fix up the house. Start a business. prosper.com/twit for a limited time. Prosper will give Twit viewers a $50 Visa gift card with their low-interest loan. Up to 35,000 smackers in your account in as few as 5 days, plus a $50 Visa gift card. Now that's a deal I can live with. Prosper.com/twit. Give them a visit today, and we thank them so much for their support of the fabulous Windows Weekly program with Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com, Mary Jo Foley from AllAboutMicrosoft.com. We begin our back of the book with our tip of the week.
I have a few tips. I should also we don't have an Audible pick this week, but I want to mention that the book Losing the Signal came out this week. That's the book about
What's
BlackBerry.
That? Oh, yeah, we're going to interview the author. I just got the hardcover.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
I've not read the whole thing yet, but I'm about halfway through. I've been kind of burning through it. It's really, really good.
I gave it to Carson. I said, hey, I really want to talk to this guy. Good.
I actually have newfound respect for BlackBerry as well, actually, as a result of this. Because, you know, obviously they kind of...
they didn't do anything wrong that a lot of other companies, including up in Redmond, didn't do, too.
I don't know what you mean by that. But the point is, no, this is a good book. It's available on Kindle, Audible, paper, whatever. Yeah. I recommend it. But, and tied into that, spurred on by some emails I had gotten, I compiled a list of the industry books that I've bought on Kindle and Audible over the past, actually, 2.5 years since the end of or beginning of 2013. So that's available on my site. You know, like Steve Jobs, a biography, a book about Nadella, you know, some of that stuff. So these are the ones that I've actually purchased, that I've read, and that I are recommended either because they're really good books or are just generally interesting for people who are into this kind of stuff. So check that out.
That's also, great. Thank you for doing that. You know what? I'm gonna point people
to actually,
that.
It's hard to do.
It's just,
I actually meant originally to do my whole collection. And I got about 2 years into
Goodreads.
It.
Goodreads, man, just use Goodreads. You could use Goodreads and then share it with everybody.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the Amazon thing, and I think they will import your Amazon history into it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
well, it's too late now, Leo. I've gone down the road.
But I mean, that's Amazon. That's Audible. That's Kindle. I mean, that's a good chunk of. I'm sorry to say, of what I read is stuff from Amazon. So.
Sure. I'm actually right now rereading that Competing on Internet Time book that Netscape and Microsoft allowed these authors incredible access during the browser wars. It's almost overly detailed, but it is an amazing accounting of how they developed products at that time. That book is almost too much. It's crazy how detailed it is. It's really good.
I've read about half of these, but the rest are, I agree with you on all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, just listen to Masters of Doom recently again.
Yeah, Masters of Doom, what a great book.
The dogfight book about Google and Apple, I just listened to again.
Another great one. Boy, I felt like I learned kind of a lot of what was going on behind the scenes in that one, of stuff we were covering.
Yeah,
but
I love how recent it is, and it's a good one.
Good choices. That's a great list. That's on your website, Surratt.com.
Yep. So last week I talked about, I'm doing a series of tips on Windows Phone. I wrote a bunch more of those. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but... I'm writing almost one a day, so you can check those out. And I also wrote a couple of tips about OneDrive. The reason I want to mention these is just because as we head forward into Windows 10, Windows 10 is not going to have the sophisticated OneDrive sync engine that we had in Windows 8.1. And Windows 8.1 stands alone. It's the only version of Windows that has this. It's the only version of anything that has it. The ability to browse your entire OneDrive through the shell where you see placeholder files instead of the real files, so it doesn't take up all the space. And then you can selectively determine from the shell which parts of the collection you want to have synced offline. And so I sort of thinking through this, I wrote a couple of tips based on, you know, how you might overcome this. And that's true whether you're in Windows 7 or 8.0 or in the future in Windows 10. And so there are ways to see all of your OneDrive from the shell. One is to map OneDrive as a drive letter. And the other is just to use a third-party utility, and there are a variety of those. But they all have issues. I mean, the performance issues, reliability issues, you know, whatever. But if the goal is to see everything from the shell, which it is for me, you're going to want to take a look at those two tips.
Good tips.
Then, software pick, I also have two. I just want to mention quickly that today Microsoft announced that Office Lens for Android had exited preview.
Oh.
So it's available in non-preview format. I don't believe they've actually updated it. I don't think there are any new features. But that's that awesome app. It's available on Windows Phone. It's available on iPhone and Android. That is basically a scanner for everything. And it will convert, you know, whiteboard or receipts or business cards or whatever into text that you can use anywhere. Or it's just a fantastic, fantastic app. So out of beta. The other one, and this is part of, I haven't written this one up, but this is would be considered part of the Clean PC series I've been doing this year, is something called Unchecky. I don't actually think that anyone listening to this podcast needs it for their own computers, but you should install this on the computers of everyone you're doing service for all the time, you know, friends and family.
Yep.
And what this thing does is it automatically unchecks the crapware choices that appear in typical setup programs for applications that you've downloaded for the internet. So if you download something like uTorrent or Java or whatever, it will actually automatically uncheck the boxes that are confusing because they're purposely designed to be confusing, so that you're not getting the crapware that is often
Look at
installed.
MicroTorrent. Oh, my God, the crap you have to install.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh,
so
three different crap things, including conduit.
Yeah. So I put this one, you know.
So unchecky unchecks all of these automatically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a neat little app. It's free.
Really, it's great. Yeah. We've recommended that for a long time, I think, on the radio show, because it's just everybody should.
Yeah, cool.
Everybody who installs a lot and is, you know, you say it's not for our audience, but you
I was just thinking that. I should say.
We all go click, 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 click. Right. Okay.
Well, I just did, you know, I torrented that build, you know, for example. So I decided to install uTorrent. And I just went through this where you kind of, okay, no.
Right. You have to read it carefully.
Yes.
I was.
Okay. This one's.
It's not obvious.
Yeah.
Like the toolbar. Oh, maybe that's the unchecky toolbar. No, that's conduit. That's not immediately obvious.
Right.
Mary Jo Foley has an enterprise pick of the week.
I do. My enterprise pick is SQL Server 2016.
Of course it is.
And the reason it's my pick today is Microsoft just released the first public preview of this database that's coming next year.
Mm-hmm.
Confusingly, this preview is called CTP2, which is Community Technology Preview 2, even though it's the first public preview.
Oh, Microsoft, don't ever change.
I know. And the reason, if you're curious, it's CTP2 is because there was a CTP1, but that was a private preview. Oh. This is a public preview available to anyone as of today. So SQL Server 2016 is the follow-on to SQL Server 2014, and it's just more of everything that you loved about SQL Server. It's more performant, has more encryption. It has a new technology that I am not totally sure how to explain, but it's called Stretch Database. And the way Microsoft describes that is it lets you dynamically stretch your warm and cold transactional data to Azure.
Oh, finally.
Did you seriously just say that?
I did. And I cannot explain it any further than that. Okay. I guess Stretch DB is a thing, and I'm sure I'll hear lots from people who understand what exactly that means. But just go with it. Stretch DB is in there. Polybase is in there, which is a technology Microsoft has only had up till now in their parallel data warehouse that helps you manage both relational and non-relational technology. So there is a ton of stuff in this, including in this very first public preview. So if you're into databases, I would go kick the tires. You can download it. You can put it in a VM on Azure to try it out, and it's free. So get on it.
If you're into databases, and who isn't?
You're into databases.
Actually, for all the protestations, Mr. Thurrott did write the Delphi 3 Super Bible.
Yeah.
Of course. I would do it again, Leo.
It's kind of a database.
I listen, if the world had evolved into be based on Object Pascal, we would all be better
happier,
off.
Happier people.
Yep.
So would Nikolaus Wirt.
Programmers would be happier.
Wirt. Codename pick of the week, speaking of Nikolaus Wirt.
Mm-hmm. Another Switzerland-based codename this week. Basel, B-A-S-E-L, is the codename. And this is the codename for the second iteration of the Metro design language. So you know how Microsoft had Metro with Windows 8? It was a whole, it wasn't just a look and feel. It was a philosophy. It was pretty much a way of life.
It was the problem.
It was, right? Wasn't it kind of? The way they described it.
It really was, yeah.
This is like the whole way we think about design, and it was inspired by subways and modern design and et cetera, et cetera. Well, they changed everything up with Windows 10, and there's a whole different design ethic with Windows 10. And people are calling it MDL 2.0 for Metro Design Language 2. But supposedly the code name of this thing, MDL 2, is Basel. I don't know what the final name is going to be or if and when we're going to hear a new replacement.
Wait. Until this city in Switzerland sues Microsoft
I know. It's a code name.
We won't find out who it is, but somebody has apparently the rights to the name. And
But the Swiss no design. I mean, not just the Swiss railway clocks, but Helvetica. Yes. That's, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Swiss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we know the code name at least. So maybe soon we'll know the real name.
I think you probably can't copyright Basil. It's probably like.
I'm just kidding.
Like calling it New York or something, right?
I kid. Microsoft. Kidder.
Do you guys remember when they got sued by the government? Not sued, but taken to task by the government of Fiji because they had the code name Fiji.
Carl Sagan complained to Apple because they used Sagan as a code name for one of their products.
That's his name. I can understand that, but Fiji?
How would you not want your name to be the code name for an Apple product?
I know.
Actually,
kind of
same thing happened with Ken Burns. Apple put the Ken Burns effect without asking Ken Burns.
Right. Oh, man.
Is that true? They didn't ask him.
And he was a little, I'm told he was miffed until they applied him with Macintoshes. And then he said, all right. But he was pissed because they didn't ask him. They just did it.
That is amazing.
But Apple did the same thing with that Swiss watch face. They got sued over that.
Would you, if somebody at Microsoft wants to code name something MJF, feel free.
Well, didn't they name the Foley effect after you?
That is, definitely.
That's great. Yeah. Sounds like a Michael Crichton story.
Next time you hear footsteps, think Mary Jo Foley effect.
Yep.
Beer time, my favorite time.
This was kind of inspired by FIFA. Today's pick.
As it would be.
I picked a beer from England, Beavertown Brewing's Bloody Ale.
Bloody Ale!
Bloody Ale. Oh. It just sounded like it worked with the whole FIFA.
Oh, look at that can.
Yeah. It's a blood orange IPA. And what's very interesting is, so this brewery is based in England, but they do a lot of American-style beers. And this is a very American-style IPA, except made with blood oranges to kind of take a little of the bitterness edge off of it. It's very good.
I love blood oranges. I really
do. Me too.
Yeah. They're red. I mean, that's what they're called, blood oranges.
They are.
But they're very sweet. Like, they're a nice orange.
Yeah. It's very, like, nice, dark, orangey color beer. Very, very tasty. Good for a summer day like today here in New York.
My first wife, back in 1981, and I planted at our wedding day a blood orange tree. It died. And so did the marriage.
In a rather symbolic move. It committed suicide.
I think that was a nice thing to do, though. But, you know. Unless the tree doesn't make it, that's not a good sign. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this exciting, thrilling, gripping edition of Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. That's really all you need to know if you want to keep up on what's going on with Microsoft. Of course, the other thing you want to know is that Windows Weekly is right here every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC on live.twit.tv. We'd love it if you watch live. But if you can't, on-demand audio and video, always available. All of our shows are on the web at twit.tv, in this case, twit.tv/ww. Look for a new site. Before the show next week, the new website will be up. So maybe you want to subscribe on Xbox Music or the podcast app just in case. That way you'll be sure to get the show. Ooh. Well, the website's doing, you know, all of our back end is going through the website now. So that the production, you know, the production workflow all goes through the website. So that means if something goes wrong, there'll be no show.
Well, it seems like a good infrastructure.
What could possibly go wrong? No, it is. It's going to be great when it works. And, you know, Patrick Delahanty, credit to Patrick, who is in, you know, our team, who's writing we call it Elroy, is the encoder. He's rewriting the Elroy code to work with the new website. And once all the kinks are worked out, the editors will sit down in Drupal, do everything, press a button. Everything gets published to all the different places automatically. The website gets updated. The apps, too, will get updated because we have an API.
It sounds like you're describing Tomorrowland.
It is Tomorrowland.
It is.
And have you guys seen that?
No, mm-hmm. But it's...
Yeah. I don't know
what
if it has
happens
a happy
next, Father?
Yeah, I don't know if it has a happy ending. You know. Someday in the future, the web will publish all your shows. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.